Well, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview influencers, authors, speakers, and anyone that brings value to this world. Today, we have one of my clients, Michael Kitts Henderson, who is CEO of Spanish Fit Media, and they deal with marketing, specifically in the sports nutrition world. Kit, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend. Santiago, it's always a pleasure to collaborate with you. We've been collaborating on and off since 2021, early on, right? And we actually met through a couple of mutual clients, including Moish from Muscleology. Shouts out to Muscleology. We can't wait to see that new look from his brand. It's going to drop soon. So yeah, his name's Kit Michael Sanderson, Spanish Fitness Media. It's not just sports nutrition, anything really related to the fitness background. So anything fitness minded in the Hispanic community, domestic and international.
Kit, let's go into the beginnings of your life and career. Tell us about your upbringing.
There's two types of Chicago. I think that it's funny because I ran into a client, Powerhouse Gym in downtown Miami. Powerhouse Gym is popping up all over South Florida. There's one being built here in Delray Beach. There's one in Fort Lauderdale now, and there's one in downtown Miami. It's the coolest Powerhouse Gym, one of the coolest gyms I've ever set foot, and the owner's Clay Floats. Clay is from Chicago as well. And it's funny, when I was meeting him, I was like, oh man, Chicago, but he's kind of that old Chicago, like the 70s, 80s, a little bit of the 90s that we remember is a very diverse, very cultural arts, entertainment. Certainly a lot of comedies from the 80s and 90s were filmed there. So there's a lot of culture. I grew up in that Chicago where there's a lot of forward thinking, networking, not the Chicago that unfortunately we know now. So there are two different Chicagos. So originally being from up north and then making my way down in 2008, 2009-ish. So I've been in South Florida for a long time and I've never turned back. I call myself a defector from the Chicago world into Florida. And I couldn't be happier. Florida has just offered me just so many opportunities to grow in my career and meet, so many fantastic creative people. Florida really is its own culture, its own kind. It's almost like its own country.
Tell us how you came up with Spanish Fitness Media.
So when I first moved to Florida, it was really tough. It was just when a lot of industries are moving into Florida, besides obviously the tourism industry has always been here, right? But it was kind of like you were either a business owner or you were a serf, right? So you were either, working at a hotel or a gym or something or a nightlife, or you were just a business owner. So I actually had it pretty rough. I started to work for a wholesale and sports nutrition company for about 6 months. Making good money. It was 2008-ish, 2009-ish, and the economy had just collapsed. The housing crisis started and hit Florida really hard, and so I lost my job, and then I was just kind of floating around from job to job, Bally Fitness, which was really hard. I was earning like $9 an hour, $8 an hour, and selling memberships or commissions. Fountain Blue, I worked a lot of doors, including Live. I was a doorman at Liv in Fountain Blue, which is okay money, but it wasn't a career move, And so floated around and, I got a call from another 305 guy, Jorge Betancourt, local famous guy, founded Betancourt Nutrition. And he's like, hey, man, they fired two guys that were kind of moonlighting and they started their own publication over there. And that kind of prevented me from ever doing like a franchise opportunity with the muscular development publication. But when they left, I was able to talk to the CEO of Advanced Research Media, which owns Muscular Development Magazine. And I got the opportunity immediately. And I built the largest bodybuilding and fitness franchise for a magazine and website in the history of bodybuilding and fitness. Why is this unique? Because at that time, there's a lot of franchises in Spanish and a lot of franchises in Europe as well in different languages for bodybuilding and fitness magazines. It was very competitive, both print and virtual. In the short amount of time, I really built it up just by myself. I had a couple angel investors, but they were very hands-off. And you know, our first edition, we cleared over $138,000, I think. I was working out of a cockroach-infested, you know, it was Miami Beach, but it's like an older apartment, you know, so the palmettos came in. So you sort of like, what the fuck is that thing? You know, that huge cockroach, you know, sneaking in the kitchen. And it was cool because I was two blocks away from Fountain Blue and I was in the mix. So I didn't care. I was never home. Eventually, I was able to pay myself a decent salary and it just took off. And part of how it took off is we used Facebook and YouTube a lot. We did a lot of this crazy stuff that, you know, the U.S. companies were doing. And we did it in Latin America. And we followed the Facebook community, created a community from scratch very organically. And we traveled around the world and created a huge network that went into several continents. And so that had about an 11-year run, did very well. And then, you know, the demise of media and journalism in general, particularly websites. I think everybody knows that print went dead, but especially websites went dead. I mean, Amazon really took a big chunk out of a lot of the blogs and the ad spend on blogs and stuff like that. People went to e-commerce and stuff like that. And they figured, you know, they don't have to advertise on your website anymore. They got their own social media. So because of the network and the authenticity of the content and we had such a long reach, I was able to sustain for a couple more years. I still did fairly well, but then COVID hit and all the marketing budgets were just cut. In a very short amount of time, within 90 days, I mean, I was on zeros. So, you know, I had to start letting people go. I had to let my office go. And I had to really discover, like, how I can reinvent myself and keep my company. So we dropped the editorial and we went into being a full service media agency. So Spanish Fitness Media sustained. We just didn't do the editorial anymore. And I was looking at my QuickBooks and I'm like, you know, what makes, and this is true, this is kind of a tip to everybody. What makes you so valuable? That's your net worth, right? And your network is your net worth. So your QuickBooks could be looking not so hot. How do you change that? You got to realize what you can give and offer people in your services. And then people will seek you out, especially if those services are in high demand. So, you know, people get frustrated, why isn't this working? Well, you could tweak what you're offering just a little bit and be able to offer what people are really looking for. And it's moving fast, right? Technology and social media and marketing is a lot different than even it was 6 years ago. So it's a constant process, you know, Santiago. It's a constant learning curve. So where we're going to end up, who knows? So that's what Spanish Fitness Media is doing now. We work with about 5 accounts, and we're doing pretty good. We work, yes, a lot with sports nutrition companies, but we work with gym equipment companies. We represent athletes and brands, anything fitness related. So we still stay in the same kind of niche market, but we're just offering a different service, media consulting and marketing.
Quite impressive. You know, the fitness industry and sports nutrition has evolved in the past couple of years. How have you seen digital media evolve with this industry? Is it same as the other industries, or this one has a unique touch to it?
It does have a unique touch because obviously the Muscular Development name was such a powerful name and franchise that yes, we had our own content, our own spin to it. And that's what even made us stronger. We weren't just like a copy of what was already done, but you know, the name was strong. People wanted to be affiliated with the name for sure. But I see what's happened now is these supplement companies have really become the media. You see this really in Brazil. the Brazilian market is extremely competitive pertaining to sports nutrition and their media groups, especially when everybody's got their own Instagram and YouTube channel, right? And Facebook channel. So I see that the sports nutrition really just some more than others, obviously some brands more than others, and have been able to capitalize in creating a community. But I think no matter what you're promoting, if you can create a community and have it gather on a platform, a digital platform, YouTube or Instagram or both, whatever. Now people are TikToking, but that's what you want to build. We built that originally on Facebook with Muscular Development Latino Magazine. You know, we at one point we were past 500,000 followers. They were all organic. We've never paid for any type of advertising. And so I think that's what's really unique about the sports nutrition market is they really hone in on their communities. They know who their communities are. They really know how to explain their products, how they work. They know who they're going after. And that's why a lot of times, that's been why Spanish Fitness Media has been very fortunate to be able to kind of hang on to some of the same clientele, because what I've seen is, when a lot of big companies, I'm not going to say any names, but I'm amazed at the misspend of a lot of the American or the domestic side of the agencies that they hire. These domestic ad agencies know nothing about the sports nutrition market. So they're not getting the return on the investment. The sports nutrition companies are just blowing money out the window. So they, a lot of them, the smarter ones, they've brought that in-house. For example, Bang, right? Bang Energy, anything energy related. Obviously, there's been a more focus on the RTDs, you know, ready to drinks. But, you know, Redcon One, Nutrix, you know, a lot of companies have brought their media inside the house, because the most of the ad agencies are clueless about the fitness market. They have no idea. No idea. Liquor, cell phones, McDonald's. You know, supermarkets, yeah, they're on it. But sports nutrition, gym equipment companies are lost. It's like a deer in the headlights. So that's where we were able to grab out some accounts, what we specialize in, the Hispanic market, and connect the dots. I say, well, you know, it was hard when I said, okay, we're going to be agency full service. But I mean, what are we say full service, so it could be up to like 30 services. But what are the core options that we offer? You know, go to Spanish Fitness Media Instagram, and you know, I said, well, we are really good at finding a face for a brand. That's a hard thing to do. Yes, you can get anybody to do a commercial, but to do it right and consistently, you want to have, when you're going to do a spend, you need a face for the brand, and that's never going to change. You need a face for the brand that can be promoted into different markets in long term, and somebody who can really know how to talk, have good dialogue on camera, obviously, and know how to post, have a good following, good engagement, but can also do a commercial for Amazon, for example.
Right? Something that you touched up really briefly earlier in this podcast about the Latin American market. What intrigued you to get into this market?
So since a young age, I had been traveling back and forth to Mexico, living there, having a good time. I had to keep it a little crazy for you, right? This interview by my part has been kind of boring. I got to spice it up a little bit. But I'm giving you the bare facts. How bare nude they are, we'll see. But they are bare facts. when I was younger, I'll say when I was a kid, my very early 20s, I worked for Gold's Gym franchises in Mexico. I knew the head guy who ran all the franchises. Another guy from Chicago, hard hitting guy. And this guy, he was kind of like a distant uncle, mentor, that kind of thing. He's much older than I was, 15, 17, 18 years older than I was. But this guy was self-made. no formal education, just read a lot of books, really good in business, very shrewd. And so I kind of did a bunch of like underpaid services and jobs for this guy. And I learned just an incredible amount of information, how to run a business, how to do marketing 101 while I was taking some master's courses at a local university. So, you know, I got my undergrad formally and my master's degree informally. And so I just said, wow, I've learned so much here that I just want to keep going into business for myself. Well, unfortunately, the economics game won't always allow you to do that, right? So I worked with him with a lot of gym equipment companies, operations, gym franchises, juice bars, that kind of thing. Always kind of been in the gym market. And then we tried to do a franchise with the Muscular Development publication. Didn't work out so well because we kind of had a third wheel in our business operation. And both of the partners were going through divorces at the same time. Where, you know, it's just a very bad time. And so I picked up, went back to the States, and worked at Target for like 3 months. Yeah, I got kicked off the horse many times in my life. So I'm kind of used to having to, and that's where I think the original slogan for the Muscular Development Latino came from is nunca te des por vencido, never give up, never surrender. Because like with your business, unless you are prepared to literally cry, but you know, just blood, sweat, and tears into your business, and you want it to have longevity, then it's not for you. And it's a huge risk. I tell people, running your own business is a huge risk. Because you don't eat if you don't kill. That's it. There's no safety net. So, you know, have a game plan, stick with it. You know, you can adjust along the way. Obviously, everybody has to tweak their game plan. Like your physique, you're in the gym, you got to tweak something. You're not getting six pack. Well, then maybe it's not how much you're working out. Maybe it's your diet. Because maybe you do have a six pack under the flab, you know. So your abdomens could be strong, you know. So, but you have to really be prepared to, you know, make those sacrifices, and it's not for everybody. It's a very difficult market right now with obviously world circumstances. And unfortunately, we're on the Build Back Broke program. I think your supporters and listeners will understand what that means and agree. But yeah, that's how I got into it, man. Like I was a personal trainer at the Fountain Blue as well. There were 3,000 employees at the Fountain Blue. Like 10 of them only worked in two departments, and I was one of those 10 people. So I worked the front door at Live, and then I was a personal trainer in the spa. So I get, you know, I tell young people this who are working retail, especially like, you know, you go into the gym, you swipe your card, and you got the girl, the guy, you shut the front door, it's like, this sucks. I want to be here. Yeah. It's only $12 an hour, which is pretty good, actually. Unfortunately, because of inflation, it's not as good, but you know, $12 could be a lot worse. I earned like $8 an hour when I came here.
Minimum wage is actually $11 in Florida.
Right? Yeah, it's gone up. So
since your $9 days.
Yeah, I tell people, like, listen, don't just look at it as a way to pay bills. Look at it as a learning experience and education, because you may be working for or working against one of those brands you have on the shelf one day. You might be working against the shelf. Everything you're learning right now is a learning experience, is going to school, is an education. You are basically learning how this whole gym works and its infrastructure, its software, how the gym equipment is installed. Try and find out every single little detail about what you're doing. Ask, inquire, because someday you can use that and have that business background information you won't have to go to school for, because you already learned it. You know? So I always encourage people, look at it as a business entrepreneurial opportunity. Even though you're not the owner, you're not going to be the owner. You might learn how to run a gym someday, and you could own a gym. For me, running a gym is like legalized slavery. It's not for me, but people like it. They really love it. But there is a business. There are so many businesses inside the gym as well. You know, they go with the whole gym culture.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing, learn as much. Doesn't matter if you work at Starbucks. Just don't paint your hair.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, from these, each of these jobs, retail or food service, you learn, bits and pieces, how to organize yourself, how to work in the system. You've seen how the manager, you know, how he deals or she deals with the employees, things like that. You take tidbits of it, you learn it. And who knows, from Target, you could become a Spanish fitness media owner. Kit, tell us the forecast of digital media. Of course, you went from print media to digital, but how do you see digital media in the next couple of years?
I think everything's really plateaued. Even though it's gone faster, like at the same way it's plateaued. So I'm going to explain this. People's attention span is shorter, correct? There has been developments in social media platforms, but nothing has really changed pertaining to the type of content. Short videos. Oh, but what about TikTok? TikTok is just another version of Reels. Reels is just another version of you uploading a video to Facebook. Facebook uploads was just a short video you were teasing YouTube videos, teasers of YouTube videos. So I don't really think there has actually been a spike in creativity as far as new platforms. There might have been content creators that are crazy creative right now, but there hasn't been a more creative platform, is what I'm trying to say. We've been stagnant. Think about it. Holograms. That would be a new platform, right? Doing digital media on billboards that is a hologram that flashed across the city at night, like you would see in Blade Runner. That's a new platform, okay? That's a new platform. I think the only adjustment that I've seen that is something more original that more and more people jump on every day, and it's no Captain, you know, it's Captain Obvious, is going live. Everybody's going live all the time. Look, I'm shopping for noodles at Trader Joe's. These noodles, yes. These noodles, no. These are about noodles. And we're becoming so sucked into this social media society, but I think it's going to come to a tipping point. And we may be in a society in 10 years where you're out to dinner, two couples, right? And nobody brings the phone anymore because we're just tired of it.
Could that day come?
That day, it could be crazy. I've seen crazier things happen. Because, you know, unless they come up with some huge idea for some new platform, the concept really is the same. You tell me the real difference between a TikTok account and a Reels account. Hot girls half naked dancing around. That's what's trending. That's what you got to do. You got to choose these cheesy songs that they push in your face or else it won't go viral. The best practices really haven't changed since 2019. You know, 2020, I think the Instagram president, he dropped in a note that everything's going to be going into video content instead of just still picture uploads. But if you really look at it, like we went from print to websites, SEO, then video embeds and blogs, kind of bodybuilding.com type of format. Then it was just directly to social. We got off the blogs. Then we went to short videos. Then it was just Instagram. Then it was short video reels on Instagram. Now it's TikTok types of reels. But nothing has really changed since we went all social media. So, you know, who knows? A lot of people will probably say, I don't know what I'm talking about. I disagree with you, Kit. But has there really been a new platform?
That is the question. Things are evolving. You know, TikTok didn't exist 6 years ago. So things could evolve. Clubhouse came out.
There's other like Rumble. Give Rumble an example. Rumble is growing like crazy, right? Instead of YouTube. But Rumble is just another YouTube. when I say new platform, I mean like new technology, like a hologram, you know? So I really feel that we've been stagnant and we haven't really, sure, iPhones have better cameras, but what can my iPhone do besides charge faster and have more memory capacity and have a better lens on the camera?
Yeah. Small increments.
This kind of impressed me because I said, okay, George Jetson is here because the watch now is your phone. But until I see that hologram pop up.
That's where Kit says.
Yeah. I said, okay, now the marketing actually has to adjust around that. That's a game changer, right? The marketing has to adjust around that. We're not just playing with reels on, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok anymore. We're half naked girls dancing around, looking cute, listening to barf bag music, Bad Bunny music. So
that's your cup of tea, right?
It is what it is. It's not the creativity and ingenuity of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. That's for sure.
Michael Kit Sanderson, tell us about your services and the best way for people to reach you to get those services.
Thank you. You know, a lot of that I say might sound crazy, but it's really been what I've learned over the years. I mean, it's just the cat's out of the bag. I think everybody knows, even though they won't admit it. Oh, I don't pay for any promotions. I'm all organic Instagram. Sure you are. Right. I can probably dissect your Instagram account in about 2 minutes and figure out what you've been posting, how much you've been paying, why your numbers aren't being reached. And I'm no guru. I don't claim to be a guru. I hire gurus to help out, you know. But, don't take it to heart. Just stay consistent. So how do you get involved with me? You can just go to my Instagram account, Spanish Fitness Media. That's it. And the services we provide are pretty, are in the profile there, you know, talent and marketing, talent search, find faces for brands, marketing, slogans, headliners. We can write you headliners, slogans, stories, translations, and just storyboards. Create a storyboard for a product. Create a commercial. That's what we do. We create commercials. Obviously, content creation, photography, video, short video, long video, that kind of thing. And SEO, marketing, MEO. But most of all, just creating a campaign for your brand. You know, creating the color, the themes, the what's going to sit your pre-workout versus everybody else's. Because everybody's saying the same thing these days. And there's a billion pre-workouts out there. There's a billion energy drinks out there now. There are so many choices out there. How are you going to stick out? How are you going to be the elephant in the room of half-naked girls dancing to Bad Bunny?
Which might not be sufficient to get the attention these days.
Yeah, I know. People are going more and more. They're more and more advantageous these days on social media.
Unfortunately, hopefully it doesn't get too worse. But anyways.
So how to reach out, kit at sfm.miami. Again, kit at sfm.miami, or they can just DM us on Spanish Fitness Media. And that's it. We build muscle into marketing.
Well, there you have it. Michael Kit Sanderson with Spanish Fitness Media. I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Yeah, kind of odd, very all over the place in talking, but if you're ADD, you'll get it.
All right.
If you're ADD. Hey, Santiago, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. Hopefully I didn't say anything too raw that you'll have to edit out.
Not at all.
Not even the naked girls dancing the Bad Bunny, right?
No. Thank you, Michael Kit Sanderson.
Take care. Bye-bye.